Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Triple Chalice Tarot Presents The Elementary of Tarot. I am your host, Rowan Nix, joined by my two co-hosts, Taruk Vishal.
Good evening.
And Aluna Odette.
Hello, everyone.
And tonight we are finally starting the Major Arcana, the one that started it all with the tarot cards. We're going to be going through every single one, giving you our take on each of it. And tonight we start at the beginning, a very good place to start, with the Fool card. And the Major Arcana, this is usually depicted as somebody standing on the precipice of a cliff. It's generally a man, but in many decks it is also a woman. It can be either. And the person is gaily walking along, not noticing anything, and literally about to walk right off the cliff, which in a way symbolizes the delving into the subconscious and exploring the inner themes of life, which is what the Major Arcana represents. Let's start with Taruk. What does the Major Arcana represent for you?
Well, the Major Arcana to me symbolizes just the 360 of life. You know, it starts with the Fool, which is the beginning of life, and you see it just tracking down different situations that come across in someone's life. So I see it as a microcosm of life in general, of the universe, actually. The tarot and the Major Arcana itself is a microcosm of the universe. That's what I see it as.
Very, very true. Aluna, what about you? What can you give us about the Major Arcana?
Well, with the Major Arcana, like you both said, it displays the grand scheme of things, the necessary lessons that we learn as our soul is brought here, starting with the Fool and its sort of innocent incarnation and the limitless possibilities. But we see the spiritual journey and evolution of the soul in the major events and the major archetypes that are depicted within the Major Arcana. So yeah, it's the big guys, it's the big guns.
Very true. And I like how you both brought up that this deals with like major universal life issues. You know, the Minor Arcana is really more of the finer points. You know, am I going to get that job that I want? Am I going to get that lover that I want? Da-da-da-da-da. Whereas the Major Arcana is you need to worry about this in your life. You need to look within yourself or you need to bring this together. And in the case of the Fool, it talks about taking chances and taking risks. The Fool is the beginning. It is the new journey. You could compare it to the new moon as far as moon cycles go, dawn if we're talking about the sun. This is the beginning of it all. And in a lot of cases, we're in situations where we are not aware that we're about to start something new, but it becomes readily apparent to us through a series of events, either unfortunate or very fortunate, depending on how you look at it. Taruk, do you see this as a more positive card or a negative card? What's your take on the Fool?
I see this as a very positive card. The Fool is the beginning. It is that new path. It is the card of ultimate optimism in a new journey. When you look at the card and you look at the symbology of the young person, they have their head up looking towards the sky. They have it kind of looking away from the path. So even though there's a cliff that they might fall off of, that is none of the equation. They have optimism. They have literally little to nothing on their back, you know, because it's showing a man with a young woman with a stick and little pouch with bare necessities probably inside of it. So it's basically you're with little to nothing, starting a new journey, starting a new path, but you have the complete optimism of this journey being successful. And then the little dog represents protection, you being protected by this dog, and you have that flower in your hand, which, you know, symbolism, I feel, is hope and abundance and growth, you know, because the flower, I think, symbolizes life. So that's what I see. I do see it as a very optimistic card for a new journey.
Very true. What about you, Aluna? What do you see for this card?
Well, I'd like to point out the astrological association with this card, which is Uranus. Uranus rules the fool element, and the planet Uranus speaks about rebellion. So often when we look at the fool's journey, he's taking off from where he's come from. If we leave it to mythological fantasy, he's coming from a town. He sort of is going off on his own adventure. So he's turned his back on all he's known, all he's been taught, the sort of constricting social binds of, oh, you're supposed to grow up to be this, you're supposed to grow up to be that. He's going out into the real world. He's, you know, the rebellious nature of wanting his own answers and not settling for what he's been told or what he's been confined in his entire life. We're seeing this new breakthrough, this new optimism, where he's venturing out into the unknown, and the possibilities are endless. The number that is represented with this card is zero. And even though it can be a pessimistic viewpoint of saying, okay, you have nothing, but from that nothing is where the manifestation of creation and everything we have around us came forth from. So it is a part of the equation as well. It does symbolize just the infinite pathways and decisions. So when this card comes up in a reading, it definitely speaks, I think, more positively, and it reminds the person to sort of look forward to their journey or their passion with optimism. We often see this card representing someone going into something new, starting a new job, and this job or educational pathway, anything, is really going to impact their growth, their spiritual growth as a person. So that's what I see.
Definitely. And I love that you brought in the astrological as well as the numerological significance of zero, because in the negative aspects, I really feel that that's very poignant. You know, the fool is also about birth. It is about the fact that we come into this world with nothing. We come into this world with no relationship, no clothes, no wealth, nothing. And that's ultimately how we leave this world, because zeros are about endings and beginnings. And the negative aspects of it, I definitely see this as a card being a card of rude awakenings, where, as you pointed out, in the fantastical aspect, you know, this person's coming from a town, they think they know everything about life, they're just walking along and da-da-da-da-da, and bam, they're off the cliff. So this is a card definitely about waking up and awareness and consciousness. And sometimes you need to scrape your knees before you can stand back up again. What do you see as far as aspects for this card, Aluna?
As far as the negative aspects of this card, I see someone who's really afraid of taking that chance, really afraid of going out from the comforts of what they've known and starting fresh. You know, it's so easy to be so confined to that town or that life or that relationship or that job. And it's like you lose every single day that bit of the child, you know that term, the child inside of you dies. That is what I see with the negative aspect of the fool, because you're constantly bombarding that fresh spirit, like you said, coming into this world without anything, no clothes, no wealth, no social constructs, and constantly bombarding that child with, oh, well, you can't do this because, you know, you've been doing this all your life, or you can't do this because you have a commitment to this. So seeing this in the negative aspect, I'm definitely seeing someone who's really cut off from their inner child. They're really cut off from just the openness to new enthusiasm and new ideas and stretching in a new direction for their spiritual growth, you know, because this is a major arcana. So that's what I see in the negative, definitely.
Very true. Tarouk, what do you see for the negative aspects?
Well, I want to take it a little to the extreme. I see this as somebody who is too rebellious, who is too childlike, who has no concern or care for others. In my head, I kind of see this as somebody just driving recklessly. You know, they have their license, they barely, you know, we don't even know how they got it, but they're somehow they're driving, just no care for hurting anyone. And I see this as a very careless person who, you know, doesn't care if he falls off of that cliff, who doesn't care if he takes, you know, somebody with him, somebody who runs away from home, you know, and ends up just laid out somewhere, you know, five states away, you know, with nothing. So I see this as maybe a negative aspect of taking that chance, of maybe it going above your head and causing problems for those around you because you're not prepared or you know it was too much for you to handle. This new journey, it went over your head and you completely lost yourself and tumbled over and you fell off the damn cliff, you know. So that's what I see with the negative aspect of the fool.
That's interesting. Bring up a crash, and that you're bringing up, you know, this destruction and everything, because the next immediate card is the Magician, and the Magician talks about a couple of things. It's mostly about making the elements in your life work for you. It's definitely the crossroads, and in many depictions of this card, it is the Fool and the Magician standing at a crossroads together, with the different symbology of the minor arcana between them, which is the Pentacle, the Knife, the Cup, and the Wand, and also, in a lot of depictions, the Magician is holding a caduceus, which is the staff with the two serpents wrapped around it, which is a symbol of the medical profession. So this is a card about healing. This is a card about healing yourself, using the elements that are readily apparent to you, and it's about teaching. This is a card that's showing you what you have before you that the Fool might not have previously been aware of before. You know, I even think in some depictions they're looking at the elements like, "What is this?" You know, because it's just a knife, or it's just a cup, or it's just this or it's that. And in true to fashion about the major arcana, this is a card that represents a bigger aspect. It's talking about a much larger force other than just, it's just a knife, or it's just a wand, or it's just a this, or it's just a that. It's never just a something. So what's your take on the symbology of the card and what the card means for you, Taruk?
Well, this card, when I look at it, you know, it's showing the Magician having all of the elements at his disposal. He has the wand, he has the sword, he has the chalice, he has the pentacle. So he has all of the elements to use. He is in control of all of the elements. It is a card of having a strong will, of taking that first step, taking that initiative. Also, having organization skills, you know, all this card is also about construction of the ego. Okay, this is a card of creation, of taking all of the tools that you have and creating your reality around that, which is basically what magic is. You know, it is taking the elements and fashioning them and molding them with your energy and the energy of the universe to create a result. So the Magician is the ultimate creator, and he has the universe. It's like an eight, a horizontal eight above his head. So the universe, you know, that's a symbol for eternity. So it's above his head. So it is about creation.
Luna, what is your take on this card?
It's interesting to point out again the astrological association, like you brought up the caduceus, which is very keynote to Hermes, which is yes, the messenger of the gods. So it rules the planet, the planet that rules this card is Mercury, which intellect, it deals with communication, it deals with medicine. In a lot of tarot decks, the Magician is actually replaced by the Alchemist, because it's showing the culmination of the culminating properties of all the swords, the wands, the cups, the pentacles, all these elements coming together and manifesting reality. Like Taruk said, bringing down, you know, as above, so below, which is often depicted in the symbology of how the Magician is positioning his hands. You're seeing a still frame of him performing the ritual of manifestation. So he is calling down through his direction and thought form and confidence that first, you know, the first at everything, the best at everything. He's calling that energy down to bring forth his desires, and he's sharing that knowledge with the Fool. So this is the first place that the Fool sort of comes into, the first person or archetype that the Fool meet. So he learns to start processing logic, processing, you know, identity for himself, to be strong, to be the masculine, to be erect. So that's definitely what I'm seeing when we talk about the Magician here.
Definitely. Do you want to give the negative aspects of it as well?
Sure. Reversed, I'm seeing this as someone who lacks the communicative skills, the intellectual capacity. Perhaps they lack the confidence in their intellectual capacity, seeing someone who's cut off from natural speaking abilities, whether it be public or, you know, for an event, or whether it just be in communicating their own thought process and ideas to other people. And I know it may sound really easy, like just, oh, you know, get in there and just say how you feel, or it's really, you know, and bring the facts to, I'm sorry, and say what's really on your mind. But a lot of times you need to bring facts as well to prove your point. A lot of times if you are disorganized, like Tarouk was saying, this card speaks about organization skills. If you are disorganized and you don't have any sort of fluid thought process or fluid way of communicating that thought process, then that's definitely going to be shown in a reflection by the magician being reversed, because there's a disconnection there, is what I'm seeing in the reversal.
Very true. What about you, Tarouk? What do you see in the reversal of this card?
For the reversal for the magician, I see somebody who's a fraud, somebody who is a good liar, somebody who can manipulate you psychologically, somebody who has a good talk game, who abuses their magician powers, somebody who, you know, can steal, you know, somebody who's a thief, basically. So it's just, you know, a negative type of person who is egotistical, who is full of himself, who likes to brag a lot, somebody who's pompous, you know. But this card can also be somebody who doesn't know how to use their ability, somebody who doesn't know how to use what's at their disposal, who has these gifts, who has these tools at their feet, and yet they don't know what to do with them, you know. So that's what I see with the magician.
Definitely. And I like that you took it to sort of like a carnival magician, like what everybody usually thinks of when they think of a magician. They think of a person, you know, doing sleight of hand and tricks and all of this other stuff. But I definitely could see that as well. In my experience, and I've gotten called in reversal before, it usually indicates a lack of knowledge. It indicates an ineptitude, because the magician upright represents mastery. It represents mastery of the self and of the four elements. So in the reverse, I definitely get that it's somebody that can't make anything manifest for themselves. It's somebody that doesn't know what the heck to do. They have all of these tools in front of them, and they can't see the forest for the trees. You know, they're so blinded by the instruments that they lose the art. Because we're talking about tarot, we're talking about magic and all this other stuff, it is about an art. It's less of a science. So it could even be somebody that's almost too scientifically minded, which I believe Mercury rules over too, but correct me if I'm wrong. Are we ready to move on to the Empress, the third card?
Yes. Well, the High Priestess.
Are you sure? I thought the Empress was the third, no?
Well, we're moving to the second, so it's the High Priestess.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so we can move on to the High Priestess. If you're looking at many depictions of this, you're usually seeing a woman seated on a throne and a dark pillar to her left and a white pillar to her right and a field in the background. So this is really about a person that is seeking their subconscious, is seeking answers, is seeking connection to the spiritual realm. The High Priestess talks about bring the forces of positive and light together, and she stands in the gray area between to give answers and knowledge, etc. When I've gotten this card in my readings in the past, it usually indicates that somebody needs to look within themselves, needs to sit in silence and meditation and let the universe speak to them. This is a very spiritual card, and a lot of people that are psychics, that are mediums, that do work in the craft, get this card as an indicator of their abilities if they previously were not aware of it before, or didn't have a name for it, let's say. I've gotten this card when I'm reading another witch and they didn't tell me that they were a witch, and I'm reading it and I'm like, why did you lie to me? And, you know, they're always surprised by it, but it really is an indicator in that way of people that practice the art. Eluna, what do you see in this card?
Well, definitely, like you said, this card rules the intuition. This is a psychic medium. Pretty much, if you are talking to someone who is psychically gifted, this card primarily will come up if it's dealing with, you know, who they are or a question about their character. This card is the feminine, whereas in the magician we saw the masculine and the sword logical aspect. When we see the high priestess and she comes into a reading, oftentimes she's telling us to put the logic aside. Sometimes we have to be trusting in the wisdom of our intuition, that gut feeling, going with, okay, well, this person didn't feel too right to me. This person didn't feel, you know, key words on that. Not a lot of times given by fact, because sometimes we don't get all the facts laid out straight before us. But how many times have we been in situations where we look back on and we're like, you know, my stomach told me not to pick that answer, or my stomach told me, or my spirit or my guides or this little voice inside my head. So when the high priestess comes up, a lot of times for a person who isn't psychically inclined, it's a reminder to them to not be so anti-supernatural, not to be so factual, you know, constantly needing facts. Oh, I don't believe in astrology. Oh, I don't believe it. It's like, just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean that the aspect of those laws are not affecting all of us. We have to be humble, you know, and seeing the high priestess, how she's seated and, you know, she's receiving, she's in a receptive mode. So we have to be humble and be willing to receive from the universe, because if not, she'll kick your butt. Okay. Truth be told. And that's what I see with the high priestess.
Definitely. She is the mystery of life, the great unknown, that which cannot be named. Taruk, what do you see in the aspect of the upright position?
Well, I think Aluna pretty much said everything that needed to be said about the high priestess. I mean, you know, she is about wisdom. Yeah, she's wisdom, intuition. She's about empathy. She's about receptiveness, about receiving, about paying attention to your subconscious, to your inner voice, to that voice inside of your head that speaks to you. Like Luna said, that gut feeling. In my African deck, the high priestess, she actually has a broken sword on the floor, which, like Luna also said, it's about that logic. You know, the sword symbolizes logic, so it's breaking that logic, breaking that male side and paying attention to the feminine, to the female aspect of oneself, the divine feminine of the universe, which is about receiving, about letting things inside of you, letting things in, come through you. So, yeah, that's what I see with the high priestess.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You want to take it to the negative aspects as well?
Well, the negative aspect of the high priestess, I see this as somebody not listening to their inner voice, somebody who is in denial of the feminine within them, their feminine aspects. They are rejecting the femininity. They are rejecting their dreams. They are rejecting that inner voice. They are letting false things take, you know, it's kind of like this saying, fear is false evidence appearing real. So you're letting the false evidence appear real to you. You are letting negativity take over you. So you're paying attention to that instead of listening to your true voice, you know. So that's what I see with the high priestess reversed.
Definitely. Aluna, what is your take on the negative aspects of this card?
Well, in the negative, like Taruk was saying, this is someone who is completely cut off from their higher self, you know, completely cut off and living a very mundane life, okay? So really no aspect of being aware of their dreams, taking into consideration their dreams. They look at things like dreams and signs and visions and feelings as just something very backstage. And even though it is on the backstage, because we're talking about the intuition and the receptiveness, it is also a tool and a mechanism that allows for spiritual growth. So this in the reversal is saying you're completely cut off from that, and you're being you're finding yourself in just the stagnation of living logically, constantly just in a pursuit of facts. I need facts. I need facts. And I mean, yes, facts can prove a lot, but there are still so many things that are left to the unknown and still so many devices to the whims of the universe that we won't even perceive in our lifetime. So again, this card speaks about the being receptive in humbleness. You know, the female, she's seated in humbleness and she's, you know, in a meditative state. So a person in reversal, they're not into meditation. They're not into their even their physical awareness. You know, a person who could be out of shape and depressed, you know, going through a lack of real understanding of themselves on a deeper level. It's what I'm seeing in the reversal, definitely.
Very true. When I've gotten this card in reversal before, I will say that it's about unmasking people. It's definitely come up in several instances where I've been doing a reading on myself, and it talks about people not being who they say they are. It's about appearances, because High Priestess does represent mystery. She also represents the different phases of the moon, and nobody knows what's on the other side of the moon. And in that way, it is a warning that the person or persons or whomever it is that you're dealing with is not who they say they are. It is not accurately them. You need to listen to your gut. You need to listen to your inner voice, because it is not as it appears to be, for sure. Moving along to the Empress, which is one of my favorite cards, which is probably why I wanted to jump there so quickly. The Empress of the Major Arcana represents the physical realm. She represents the earth itself. And in a lot of cases, she's presented as an earth mother. I know in the Rider-Waite deck, she's sitting down on a throne and she has like a crown of stars. And she has a shield with the Venusian symbol on it. And it's all about the physical pleasures of the earth. The Empress rules over the dominion of the earth, of the seasons, of change, of the months, of the year, etc. So it's definitely about bringing cycles into your life and knowing that if you may be going through something terrible, the Empress is a sign that you're about to experience a time of fertility, of fecundity, of manifesting your dreams and desires. The seeds that were planted in the Magician card are now harvesting. They're now coming up for you. So, Tarouk, why don't you start us off with your interpretation of this card?
Well, the Empress has to do with fertility. It has to do with abundance. It has to do with creativity, imagination. It has to do with love. This card has to do with nature. You know, the Empress is the mother of the earth, okay? She is in charge of the animals. She is in charge of the ocean. She is in charge of the earth, in period. So she has to do with pregnancy, with abundance, with vitality, with anything concerning the earth, I see, you know. It's a very motherly card. That's what I see with the Empress.
Definitely, for sure. Aluna, what do you see with this card? Hello? Aluna?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here. I think we're about down to a minute, so I'm just going to go into the Empress really quick. Now, if the Empress card were to come up in a reading, for say, for a man or someone, this card also reminds you to focus on self-manicuring, self-nurturing, self-healing, and in a feminine aspect too. So going to a spa, you know, getting a haircut, getting your nails done, getting your, you know, just keeping and sprucing up yourself in a lap of luxury. She's surrounded by luxurious things, and she's ruled by Taurus too. So Taurus is of the maternal. It is of the earthly plane. So things that, you know, sensual things like candles and scents and, you know, chocolates and candies, those type of things that revitalize your earthly sort of pleasures, that remind you of, you know, you can sit back and say, you know, it's a very feminine, healing reminder to yourself. So that's what I see with when I think of the Empress and when I come across the Empress.
Thank you. That was beautifully stated. Since we are down to the wire, I will simply say goodnight to everyone listening. Thank you so much for listening to us. Tune in this midweek when we're doing our midweek reading. I am your host, Rowan Nix, here with Tarouk Bashal.
Good evening.
And Aluna Ogun.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good night.